The cold seemed to be numbing my very guts. I knew I couldn't go much longer, and then a blinding pain shot through my left leg, and I was underwater, my mouth filling as I tried to yell. Flailing with my good leg, I came up, bleating for Hansen. "Cramp!" I whispered. "Christ, I'll drown!" Even then I had sense enough to keep my voice down. But it was loud enough to reach him, for next time I went under, he hauled me up again, swearing fiercely at me to be quiet and to stop thrashing about. "My leg! My leg!" I moaned. "Jesus, I'm done for! Save me, you selfish bastard! Oh, God, the cold!" My leg was one blinding pain, but with Hansen gripping me and holding my face above water, I was able to rest until gradually it subsided to a dull ache. I stretched it cautiously, and it seemed to be working again. When he was sure I could swim on, he whispered that we must hurry, or the cold would get us for certain. I was almost past caring, and told him so. He and his bloody prince and Sapton and the rest of them could rot in hell for me, I said, and he struck me across the face and threatened to drown me if I didn't keep quiet. "It's your life too, fool," he hissed. "Now be silent or we're lost." I called him the filthiest names I knew, in a whisper, and then he swam on with me behind him, striking out feebly enough. But it wasn't far now. Another couple of freezing minutes and we were under the lee of the castle wall, where it seemed to rise sheer out of the water, and there wasn't a sight or sound to suggest we'd been heard. Hansen trod water in front of me, and when I came up with him he pointed ahead, and I saw what seemed to be a shadowy opening at the foot of the wall. "There," says he. "Silence! I can't take much more of this," I whispered feebly. "I'll freeze, I tell you. I'm dying. I know I am. God damn you, you scabby-headed Danish swine, you... Wait for me!" He was swimming slowly into the gap in the wall, and at that moment the moon chose to come out again, striking its cold light on the rearing battlement above us, and showing that the gap was in fact a tiny harbour cut out of the rock of the Jotunberg itself. To the left and ahead it was enclosed by the castle wall. To the right the wall seemed to be ruined, and there were dark areas of shadow where the moonlight didn't penetrate. I felt a chill that was not from the water as I paddled slowly towards it. Exhausted and shocked as I was, I could smell danger from the place. When you burgle a house, you don't go in by the open front door. But Hansen was already out of sight in the shadow. I swam after him, round an angle of the rock, and saw him treading water with his hand up on the stone ledge that bordered the harbour. When he saw me, he turned face on to the stone, put up his other hand, and heaved himself out of the water. For a second he hung there, poised, straining to pull his body onto the ledge. The moonlight was full on him, and suddenly something glittered, flying above the water and smacked between his shoulder blades. His head shot up, and his body heaved convulsively. For a second he hung, motionless, and then with a dreadful bubbling sigh, he flopped face down on the stone and slid slowly back into the water. As he slipped under, I could distinctly see the knife hilt standing out of his back. Then he was floating, half submerged, and I was scrabbling frantically away from him, choking back the shriek of terror in my throat. There was a low, cheerful laugh out of the shadows above me, and then someone whistled a line or two of "Marbre s'en va ton guerre."
"Swim this way, Flashman, Prince of Denmark," said Rudy's voice. "I have you beaded, and you won't float long if I put lead ballast into you. Come along, there's a good chap. You don't want to catch cold, do you?"